All right, I appreciate you all having me again, and I am going to do something. I have never done this before. I think I've only done this one other time, actually. And after the teenagers sung that song, I decided to change what I was going to preach. And so forgive me if it's not as good, but it's the way the Lord led today. So if you will, actually, I'm not going to have you turn to the Bible just yet. I'm going to read a list of names to you, and I want you to nod at me if you recognize them. Okay, the first one is Shammua. Anybody? No takers? Okay, the second one is Shaphat. Igal? Palti? Anybody? Gadiel? Gadai? They're in the Bible. Amiel? Sether? Nabai? And Guel. Take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. There's two more names on this list I didn't read you. They are Oshea and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb. This is 12 men that the Lord gave a task to. These are the 12 men that went in to spy out the land of Canaan. Now, the Bible, I believe that the Holy Spirit put everything in the Bible for a reason. And if everything is in the Bible for a reason, these men's names are in the Bible for a reason. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. In Numbers chapter number 13, we're going to read just a few verses here. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel, and these were their names." And it goes through the list of the men that I just listed to you. Now, they all went into the land, and they actually obeyed the Lord. They did what they were supposed to do. All 12 of them went into the land, and they spied it out, and they brought back a report. This is what Moses had commanded them to do. This is what the Lord had commanded Moses to tell them to do. And they obeyed. But let's look a little further. Look a little further in the chapter, and in beginning in verse 27, it says this. "And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us." They're speaking to Moses. "And surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." Remember these guys. "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which came of giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight." And so I'd like to speak to you today about the subject, the world's strongest grasshoppers. The world's strongest grasshoppers. Now, that sounds like a carny trick, but it's not. The world's strongest grasshoppers. The truth is that every person in this room is a grasshopper. We're a nobody. We have no capabilities. We cannot do the task that God has assigned us. If you look in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, he gives us a command. Now, that command is massive. Right. At the time Jesus gave that command, the world was smaller than it is now. You ever thought about that? The known world was significantly smaller. They didn't know that this half of the world that we're standing on even existed. So he says, go into all the world, and to them, that was an enormous task. It's even more enormous now. How on earth are we, grasshoppers, supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel? We can't. It's impossible. If we go into all the world and preach the gospel, we'll be killed, we'll be slaughtered, we'll be persecuted, we'll be cast out, we'll be told we're crazy. How are we supposed to do that task? The children of Israel said much the same thing. They said, they're greater than we are. They're giants. Now, to be fair, let's remember who these people are. They're shepherds, they're metal workers, and they're carpenters. Those are the three things the Bible has mentioned that they have skills to do up until this point. They can make furniture and take care of sheep. They are not warriors. They are not battle-hardened men. And if you know any Jewish people, they're not huge either. They're small guys that know how to take care of sheep. And God says, go into a land and take out some giants for me. That's ridiculous. How are you supposed to do that? How can grasshoppers do a task like that? So let's look at some grasshoppers. In Numbers chapter 19, let's look at verse number 27 again. It says, and they told him, this is these men who've come back, the 10 men, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Remember they carried back those giant grapes? Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. So what are they looking at? There's several nouns in this passage. The nouns are milk, honey, fruit. That sounds pretty good. Strong people, walled in great cities. Specifically, one of the cities that they might have seen is the city of Jericho. It's said that the walls were so wide you could ride two chariots side by side around the top of the wall. That's a thick wall. How are a bunch of shepherds and silversmiths and carpenters supposed to get through a wall like that? Well, frankly, they're not. They're not going to do it. There's no way. Grasshoppers cannot achieve something so big. It's not possible. And so here they are, they're looking at their circumstances and they're saying, we can't do this. And you know what? They're right. Amen. They can't do this. As long as we have our eyes on the circumstances and the obstacles and the things that are in the way, it cannot be done. Amen. It simply cannot be done. Do you know how difficult it is to move your family to Australia? You literally can't get any further away before you start coming back. It's on the opposite hemisphere, this direction and this direction. It's literally on the other side of the planet. When people say to dig a hole to China, they're actually going to wind up in Australia. This task is senseless. Why move your family when both sets of grandparents live within 2 hours of us, okay? It logically doesn't make sense. We were comfortable, had a good job, all the bills were taken care of. It doesn't make sense. It's stupid, frankly, unless there's a reason behind it. Unless there's power behind it. Unless the one who tells you to do it has a plan in place. And if he does, and he does, then he'll take care of it, won't he? And here we are, we're looking at these grasshoppers, and they say, yes, there's milk, and there's honey, and there's fruit. But there are these huge people. And there are these walled cities. We can't do this. We can't do this. In 1 Samuel chapter 31, we won't go there for time, but you see the king Saul. And King Saul is fighting the Philistines, and he is losing, and he is going to die. And what does he do? Instead of trusting the Lord, he falls on his own sword and kills himself. And his servant does the same thing. And faced with the obstacles, he realized he could not win. But at the end of that chapter, it says that all the valiant men arose and stormed into the very city of the people who they just lost to and took his body off the wall. That is a harder task than winning the battle that Saul was already in. But they had faith that they were doing what was right and they were going to get it done. The difference between those men and Saul was not the task at hand, but the faith it took to complete it.
Yes, sir.
And here we are looking at some grasshoppers who are staring at their circumstances in the face and realizing we can't do it, but not realizing that God can.
Amen.
And what else are they looking at? In verse number 28, it says, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." In other words, they said, look, we're going to have to cross Jordan, immediately be confronted by the Canaanites, and then we're going to have to go to the mountains and face these three peoples. And when we get through all that, we got to go fight the children of Anak. The children of Anak are the men they're referring to as giants. These guys were close to 10 feet tall. Some of them had more than five fingers on each limb. These guys were battle-hardened warriors. Every one of these tribes fought with each other all the time. It's just what they did. They were trained, battle-hardened men who knew war like the back of their hand,
yes, sir,
of which they had more than five fingers. And a bunch of shepherds and silversmiths and carpenters are going to go in there and fight these guys? They're not going to even get through the Canaanites. They're never going to get to the Anakims. It's not going to happen. And so they're not just looking at their circumstances. Now they're looking at other people. And they're saying, look, the circumstances are pretty bleak, but even if we could get through that walled city, we still got to fight these people. There's people in there. And let me assure you, it is much easier for me to stand up here and speak to you down there than it is for me to talk to one guy in a gas station. Because people are giants up here. Because we don't have the faith that it takes that God can do something in that guy in the gas station's life through me.
Amen.
It's not me. I'm a grasshopper. I'm a nobody. How am I going to have any effect? What right do I have to take time out of that guy's day to confront him about his soul? I have every right because it was commanded of me by God. And if he told me to do it, then he'll take care of the rest of it,
Amen.
Won't he?
That's good, preacher.
And so here we are, they're looking at the children of Anak. They're looking at the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Canaanites. And you know what it used to be? The Egyptians. And there's always somebody standing in the way. There's always somebody that wants to stop what God wants to do in this world. Whether they want to stop it, whether you want to stop it, there's always somebody. And if we're not willing to just obey God because God said to do it and have faith that he'll complete what he said to do, then we'll never get anything done. There's always going to be obstacles, and there are always going to be people standing in the way. In verse 31, they said, they are stronger than we. Let me ask you a question. Are there more lost people in the world than saved people? And are they stronger than we? Yes. They have more money. They have more resources. They have more smarts. They have more numbers. They have all the advantages, except they don't have God. And here we are, grasshoppers, with a task at hand. Go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what includes in all the world? Your neighbor, your coworker, Australia, Romania, wherever it is. That's all the world.
Amen.
And they need the gospel.
Amen.
And it's a task that is far too great for any of us grasshoppers to complete outside of us just simply having faith and obeying what God said to do.
Amen.
And he'll take care of it.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what they did to conquer Jericho? Nothing. They walked around in circles and blew some trumpets because they had faith that God said he would do what he would do.
Amen.
And here we are again in verse 28 and 29, and we see this list of people who stand in the way, and there are always going to be people who stand in the way. But what else do we see? Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak. They're really hung up on these guys, which come of giants. In other words, they're giants. They're always going to be giants. They always have been giants. They're always going to be massive men. We're going to have to fight them if we go in there. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. In other words, they're looking at circumstances. They're looking at other people. And now they're looking at themselves. And they're saying, look how small we are. Do you know what the ratio between a grasshopper and a person is? That's something like 9,000 times. It'd be like us walking up to a person the size of a skyscraper and saying, I'm going to take you out. That's how they view themselves. We're so small. We're so insignificant. And you know what? There is a certain place for humility. There's also a certain place for just obeying what God said to do in faith. Now, blind obedience, people do that all over the world. There's people in several different religions throughout the world. You speak to an Islamist who is about to go blow himself up for something. He believes that he is doing what's right. He is obeying. Is obedience the ticket? No. These 10 men obeyed what God told them to do. They went into the land. That took guts. There's giants there. If they got caught, they'd be killed. They obeyed God, but they did not obey God in faith. Go back to the very beginning of the chapter, verse 1 and 2. It says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give.
Yeah.
That's present tense.
Yes,
give.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Not I am going to give, not gave, but give. Right now. These men were to come back and say, look, we spied out the land. This is what's here. Now let's go get it. Only 2 of them did that. The other 10, they went in and they obeyed, but they did not have faith. And how many churches around this country and around the world are obeying, but they don't have faith?
Right.
We're here. We have church on Sunday. We go door knocking sometimes. We speak to people sometimes about the gospel. And we're obeying and we're doing what we're supposed to do and we're turning the wheels, but they just keep spinning. And they're spinning and they're spinning and they're spinning because we're obeying and we're not obeying in faith. And here these men, they've gone into the land, they've seen what they were supposed to see, and instead of coming back encouraged like the 2 did, they came back discouraged. Because those who obeyed in faith came back with great courage. Caleb is either having great faith or he's suicidal. He either believes that God will really give them this land, or he's nuts. I suggest that it's the first. That he went in and he saw the same things that the other 10 men saw and came back with a different conclusion.
Yes.
Because he saw a God that was bigger than the giants.
Right. Amen. Amen.
And here we are looking at these men on the tail end and saying, I can't believe you guys. And yet we act the same way.
Yes, sir.
We have a God who said, lo, I am with you always. And we act like we're alone. And we have a God who began the Great Commission by saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And we witness scared. That's because we're obeying, but we're obeying without faith. I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Because so often, I go into a church building nervous about speaking or worried about how I might represent myself. But I'm not representing myself. I'm representing the Lord, and so are you, everywhere we go. Do you know that when you call yourself a Christian, you just identified yourself with Christ and his suffering? That's not comfortable. It won't be too much longer before calling yourself a Christian is a danger to you. In some places, it already is. So what is a grasshopper to do? Well, let's look at a different example. Look at verse 30, and here we find Caleb, and it says, and Caleb stilled the people. They've created a ruckus. Sin always creates a ruckus. And here they are. They've created a big ruckus, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once, right now, and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. What? Well able? We don't even have swords. Are we going to go fight him with our shepherd's crooks? It's not going to go well. Is he crazy? No. Look in chapter 4, verse number 8. It says, this is Caleb speaking to the same people, and he says, If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. Again, present tense. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And so on the other end, you've got a guy who's seen all the same things, and he comes back with a polar opposite conclusion. Rather than saying, we are not able, he's saying, we are well able. Now, I want to point out to you, Caleb is just like the rest of these guys. He is probably one of three things: a shepherd, a silversmith, or a woodworker. And yet he says that we are well able. And then he expounds on his by saying we are well able. He expounds on it and he says, he will bring us into the land.
Amen.
Because grasshoppers can accomplish nothing. The task is impossible, but the Creator God of all the universe, who owns all things and has all power, is willing to be in our favor in the battle.
Yes, sir.
He wants to help us. He wants to get behind us. He wants to push us forward, not because of us, because we're not special, we're just grasshoppers, but because God delights in using little things to accomplish big works.
Amen.
Because God delights in using grasshoppers to do big things. One of the 10 plagues of Egypt were locusts, which are essentially grasshoppers, and crippled the country of Egypt, brought them to their knees. They could no longer even feed themselves. Grasshoppers. God longs to use small things to do big works in this world. And the only difference between small people who accomplish nothing and small people who accomplish big things is faith in a big God who can do all things. These are not warriors. These are not battle-hardened men. These are nobodies with a big God. Let's find out what that looks like. Joshua chapter 14. In Joshua chapter 14, we find this man Caleb again. I'm in Judges chapter 14. That's not going to help me. Joshua chapter 14. Here he is again in verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So he is 85 years old. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims, sons of Anak, were there. And the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Here Caleb is, 45 years later, standing on the same ground he stood on before. Last time he said, let's go in and take it, and they would not. This time, they had the faith to go as far as that spot. And Caleb stands there and he says, I don't even need the whole children of Israel to go with me. Just me and my family will go and we'll take it out. He says, I'm just as strong now as I was then. Now, was he physically that strong? Well, I think the word reads that way, yes. But even if he wasn't, I think his faith was even stronger.
Amen.
And here he is, standing on the edge of the biggest fight of his life at 85 years old. At least he has slightly more battle experience. But he's still just a grasshopper. He is still nobody. And he's got to go in and he's got to fight these giants. But you know what? He's going to do it. And he's going to win. And do you know why he's going to win? Not because Caleb now has battle experience. Not because Caleb now has a family of men backing him. No. Because Caleb still has faith in the same God to do something great for him.
Amen.
Nothing's changed. He still has to do the work, by the way. He still has to go in and fight giants. It's not going to be an easy task. The work didn't go away just because time did. We often think if we just put it off a little longer, it's going to vanish somehow. No. Caleb still has to put in the work. He still has to have the faith to get the job done. And here he is as an 85-year-old man making the same choice he made 45 years earlier. And maybe some people in this room think that the best days of their life are behind them. You're wrong. Because if you still have great faith in a great God, God still wants to use grasshoppers like us. Nobody's to do the will of God in this world. The Anakims, they haven't gone anywhere. The obstacles we face today are the same obstacles they faced then.
Yes.
They just have a different face. They're the same big giants that want to crush out anything that represents the name of God. I'm going to a country where half the population claims that they either don't believe in God at all or they just don't think that God gives a care about them or their lives. Atheists and agnostics. Half. That's half a populace that would love to see me never come. Now, I'm not bragging on myself. I certainly am not. But I know that Jesus can do it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And he wants to do it.
Hey.
She's going to a country that historically has been very persecuted, very, very highly persecuting of Christians, historically speaking. They don't want her there either. You know what? Your next door neighbor doesn't want you to knock on the door tomorrow. The world does not want to hear the gospel because the gospel exposes it for what it is. That's why when we pick up our Bible and we read something, occasionally it hurts. Because light exposes darkness. The world will always oppose God. It will always oppose everything that the Christian life represents. And we will always be grasshoppers. But God wants to do something in this world.
Amen.
And whether it be by 12 or by 2, he'll get it done. Do you want to be a grasshopper that he will use? Or are you going to have to put it aside because you won't have faith? Maybe you're obeying. Maybe you're in the church choir. Maybe you go on door knocking. Maybe you go witnessing. Maybe you do talk to your neighbor. But obedience, friend, is not enough. Obedience, believing that God said that God will do what he said he will do, that's what's required.
Yes.
For great things to be done by insignificant grasshoppers. Thank you.
Praise God.